This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 15, 2015, Quinquagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will be clean. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We hear stories from the Scriptures, particularly ones that are kind of lost in our society. We have a tendency not to be able to, as I refer to it, is get our head around it. Martyrdom is one of them. You know, on every martyr's day, the martyrs. We just don't get martyrs. We don't understand how that happens. There are many people in other parts of the world who are being killed by the hundreds and thousands for their faith this very day. We don't see that in North America, so it is really a foreign thought to us. We just don't get things like that. So you can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but if you have no practical experience with things like that, you have to understand that you got to really delve into it to see how this applies to your life. Probably even more so when you start talking about leprosy. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament just replete with these leper stories. Jesus healing lepers, what you do about lepers. It's like, okay, yeah, leprosy, move on. Leprosy truly does tell us something, and it's not a pretty picture. Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole leprosy thing, what goes on with everybody knows. You've seen the movies, leper colonies, how horrible it is. You know, it's terminal, it's grotesquely debilitating. It, you know, corrupts even the very appearance of someone. It's an infectious disease that would do everything possible. That's what the Old Testament reading was about. Everything possible to avoid the transmission of this disease. Then again, like martyrdom, it's like, okay, you know, leprosy, we don't have it. Guess what? In a sense, even more than a sense, very objectively, we do. Kind of go on the coattails of what I said last. Remember what I said last week when we were talking in the context of our physical condition? I said if a person's in their, you know, mid to late 20s, early 30s, the way the world looks at it, oh man, he's in his prime. Well, genuinely, most 20 and early 30-ish kind of folks, from a spiritual perspective, they are like infants, if that. Okay? The world looks at it, oh, they're strong. They're, you know, that they're all about, you know, in the prime. But then, the way God looks at things, a person who has availed themselves of the sacraments and has been involved in the church and lived a life of faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, when they're 95, 99 years old, when the world looks at them and goes, oh, yeah, why don't they just die? Look at it, they're just wasting away, they're nothing physically, look at it. You know, that the way God looks at them, they are in their prime, spiritually. They've got it all going on as far as spirituality goes. They are tremendous. Leprosy, in a different context, is the same thing. When we look at leprosy, and again, not to get into the graphic details of that disease, because everybody pretty much has a picture in their mind, although it may be very abstract, of this disease. You know, okay, that was for a long time ago, and then even back then, you know, not everybody was a leper, you know, just a few people, how horrible that is. Guess what? There is something very practical to relate to which we need to relate when we talk about leprosy, and that is our sin. There's a big, huge contrast between leprosy physically and our sin. Our sin, as I just said about leprosy, affecting only a small number of people, sin affects everyone. Sin, a lack of conformity to or violation of the revealed will of God. We sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And we are all affected by this leprosy of sin. And it is in God's eyes much more horrendous than what we have mental pictures of physical leprosy. Much more horrendous from a spiritual standpoint. You are much better off if you are a physical leper than a person who has been given over to sin. That's where we start to apply things like that. Okay? We are in the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. We are getting ready to embark on our Lenten journey. It is because of sin. It is because of a realization that we are corrupt, that we are not what we should be. Oh, I'm sorry, I even used that. That sounds more contemporary. Not what we should be. Corrupt, rotten, disgusting to God's eyes because of our sin. That's where we are, each and every one of us. That's what it's about. It's about sin. Lent is about fixing it. Our daily Catholic lives are a progress and always a struggle. Lent is very pronounced. It is very, very focused. And what is the focus of Lent? Oh, giving up stuff and doing this and doing that. The focus of Lent is Easter. That's the focus of Lent. We prepare ourselves for the resurrection. We prepare ourselves for Christ. We prepare ourselves for the passion of our Lord. Because we as Catholics understand that it is the merits of Christ's passion that enables the cleansing of our leprous hearts, which we've all been diagnosed. That's all there is to it. You've got it. You got to fix it. And our Lord's ability to clean our hearts rests in the merits of His passion. That's what Lent, that focuses our eyes on the resurrection. So as you go through your Lent, again, as personal and specific as it should be, focus on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and understand that what you are discovering about yourself during Lent, He can fix that. He can fix that. He is able. We see that in this gospel account of this leper coming to our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is able in the objective to forgive us our sins. How often do we hear that throughout the Mass? Forgive us our sins, you know, my fault, my own fault, my own most grievous fault. We talk about fault, we talk about sin. It's an abstraction for most of us. It's an idea. Sin is much more than that. Sin is an objective corruption. Sin is something that can separate you from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. And He has given us a way to fix it. And that way to fix it is Jesus Christ and the merits of His passion. We see our Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel account, for instance. He is able to cleanse anyone. So many, if you're in the people of God, if you're in the church, then you're okay. He is able to even cleanse those who are outside the pale. What happens when you become a leper in the Old Testament? We read it in the first reading today. We heard it. You need to leave. You know, that's not very charitable of God to do that. A person is diagnosed with a terminal, debilitating, disgusting disease. You know, that's like not bad enough. Leave your family. Leave community. Go out and live by yourself. And if anyone would happen to get near you, you need to yell unclean. Think about that. You know, in our day and age, if you would happen to catch leprosy in our day and age, as if, what would happen? Everybody would stand around you, support you, send you to the hospital. No. Go. Get out by yourself. Our Lord's proving to us that His healing nature even extends to those people who are outside. So it should give us a motivation to continue to pray for those whom you know who have been out of the church for years or decades or have never been to church. Oh, there's no hope for them. They're outside. Well, this leper was outside, and our Lord Jesus Christ healed him. You know, there are all kind of rules under the law. You don't go near them. You don't touch them. Even if you happen by chance, you know, you're walking around at night and you get surprised by some leper coming around a corner and you bump into him, guess what? You don't get to live with your family for a little while. You've got to go through all these ritual washings. That's the law. You don't touch a leper.
Do not touch a leper. Don't even go where they've been. You don't touch them. Our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, right? In everything that he ever did. That's what we're told. That's what we're taught. So what do we do with the fact that he touched a leper? It's against the law. You don't do that. It is so specifically in that passage that he touched this leper. He proves that. For one thing, he didn't touch a leper. As soon as he willed that he was cleansed, he put his hand on a person who is more healthy than any one of us sitting in here today, more healthy than he'd ever been in his entire life. Our Lord placed his hands on a clean person because he willed that he would be clean. He's proving that he's not under the law. He is the law. The law rests in his hands. He's the law. He's the one. He did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And the leprosy did not defile his hands, but his hands cleansed the leper. He just willed and it was done. Because our Lord heals as Lord. He doesn't heal as a servant. You know, there's a bunch of people that got healed in the Old Testament, and even the apostles healed a bunch of people, right? What did they do when they healed people? Pray, right? Lord, have mercy on this person. You know, Old Testament. You're dead raised. You know, Elisha raised somebody from the dead. Lord, send life back into this one. Nero breathes on this kid that's dead. Keeps praying for him. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Notice when this leper comes to Jesus Christ, kneeling, genuflexo in the Latin, genuflection. He knelt in homage to our Lord as God. Now, even when that happens, the angels throughout the writings, every time that happens, the angels stand up. Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant. Our Lord accepts this worship from this leper because the leper knew who he was. And he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The leper came to him kneeling. He came to him as God. And our Lord did not go, Almighty God, this one who has come before me in great faith, please heal him. Nope. He doesn't have to because he is God. He is Lord. And he doesn't ask anybody for anything. He says, I will be clean. That's the power of Christ. And that's what our Lent should be focused upon, is the merits of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the medicine for our sin. It's the medicine for our leprosy, so to speak. When you look at that, when you look at the medicine, I mean, you can go to a doctor, and he can prescribe medication for you. Guess what happens if you don't take it? Nothing. Did the doctor do what he was supposed to do? Is it the right medication? Will it cure you? All yes. Guess what happens if you don't take it? Continue to be sick, and depending on what it is, you may die. You've got to take the medicine. Christ is the medicine, but you have to take it. How do we take the medicine? Most years I hit confession like every single week before Lent. It's like, well, he hasn't talked about confession once. Guess what? We're going to talk about confession because confession is taking your medicine. Confession is the rehabilitation for the leprosy of sin. And before I go on, just so no one, and if you go here, you know, and you know what you're going to hear right now, but it's an annual thing, and no one would ever be able to say that they didn't hear it here. Confession is not your option. Guess what? It's not up to you to decide whether you need to go or not. You are obliged to go to confession once a year. If you do not, you are in mortal sin. You have separated yourself from the grace of Jesus Christ, and you are not bound for heaven if you don't go to confession at least once a year. Well, heck, you know, I go to communion. Guess what? If you haven't gone to confession within the year, every time you've gone to communion, maybe out of ignorance, maybe just out of you're deciding that you can make your own decisions. Every time you've received communion, That is an additional mortal sin. So as opposed to it being the Eucharist to receive you for your healing, it is white hot coals poured upon your head because you are receiving it unworthily. That's all there is to it. That is the teaching of the Catholic Church, yes, yesterday and today. It is not your option. Not your option at all. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has subjected us to the judgment of his established priesthood. Every single Catholic walking the face of the planet is subject to the priest. The Holy Father goes to confession. Okay? The Pope is subject to priests. If I get a rosary as a gift, guess what? I may or may not bless it myself, but I can if I want. Guess what I cannot do? Absolve myself from my sins. All right? I am subject to priests. We are all subject to priests. This whole deal, this is between me and God. I don't have to confess to a priest. That sounds really cool. Guess what? God doesn't think so. It's not how he works. Never has. Leviticus. The priest determines the condition of leprosy. I mean, we all have the description. Well, if you got this, if you got that, if you got this, leprosy. Guess who makes the determination? The priest. The priest enforces a separation if he determines that there is corruption. What does that sound like? If a priest determines that you are, I'm good, Father. No, you're not. No, you're not. The priest is to enforce a separation from the community if he thinks that someone is unclean. In the Old Testament, we're talking about leprosy. In our day and age, we're talking about sin. The priest will make the determination as to whether or not you can avail yourself of the sacraments. The priest pronounces healing. On the rare occasion when in the Old Testament a leper would be healed, he went to the priest. He said, hey, look at me, I'm clean, I'm good. Nope. The priest determines if you can come back into the community or not. Well, that was Old Testament. Now we have Jesus. Really, our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who healed the leper, after he heals him without praying, healing him as Lord, what does he tell him to do? Hey, you just keep praying, you'll be good to go. What does he tell him to do? Go show yourself to the priest. And he instituted a priesthood on Holy Thursday to continue the mission of the New Testament church. The priesthood has never been abrogated. When our Lord in John chapter 20 breathes upon the apostles, it says, whosoever sins you will remit, they will be remitted. Whoever sins you will retain, they will be retained. He does not give them the power to read minds. So how are they going to know what the sins are to remit or retain? That's confession. That's how God works. And it is not up to our subjective opinion as to whether or not we need it. Because it's a demonstration of our faithful confidence in Christ. Oh, I believe everything that Jesus teaches. Why don't you believe that part of it? I'm not saying you. No, say that to your friends who say, I don't have to go to confession. All right? Yeah, you do. It's a demonstration of our faithful confidence in what Christ has established for us. It's an unquestionable understanding that when we look Jesus Christ dead in the face in the person of his priest, when we hear, I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, that to question if you're absolved or not is to question Christ. Not to question the priest, not to question the sacrament, questioning Jesus Christ, which is blasphemy. So that negates the whole it's me and God thing and not the priest. It's embarrassing. Well, yeah, it sure is. You should be embarrassed, humiliated, and ashamed. And hey, little food for thought, the more frequently you go, the less you got to confess, generally speaking. You let it go for a long time, then it gets kind of hairy. Go frequently. That way you just walk in there, couple things, boom, you're out. Double hair, Mary's our Father, if in this case, you know, my case, read this scripture, read this psalm, you know, whatever it may be, it's done with. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should pan out. Because if you look at this leper, He did it, to walk around. How embarrassing. Every time you see somebody, unclean, unclean. Ooh, yeah, leper. How embarrassing was that? But it didn't shame him enough not to come before the Lord of glory and all his sores and corruption and kneel before him and go, if you will, I will be made clean. We got to do the same thing. You know, it is truly a matter of sucking it up and getting in there. You know, and little footnote on that whole deal. I'm going to look you dead in the face. It doesn't matter what, how many times, how long. You're saying nothing in there, absolutely nothing, that's going to surprise Father. All right? You do this more than a year, you're not surprising him. Okay? You've got nothing going on. Believe you me. All right? So be at ease with things like that. Do not let shame prevent confession. It didn't prevent this leper and all his corruption from be kneeling before Christ. It should not keep us from going into the confessional and saying that same prayer. Lord, if you will, I can be made clean. And he wills. That's why he's given us the confessional. The leper recognized the Lord's power to heal. We should know even more, because when the leper did this, the cross hadn't happened. We should recognize even more the Lord's power to heal. And we should approach him just like that. Because what we have in this gospel account is an objective picture of the abstraction that we have in our mind of sin. We have an objective picture of our Lord saying, I will be clean, and putting his hand on someone, and a corruption in their flesh is gone. The same exact thing happens to us every time we go in the confessional. What a beautiful prayer, really. And it's short. You can memorize it and use it quite often, not just in the confessional. Lord, if you will, I can be made clean. The response is always going to be the same. I will be clean. He is the medicine for our sin. We just have to take it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.